Man's Family, winner of 47 national awards, a Carlton E. Morse creation. One Man's Family, now in its 27th year, is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. In 60 seconds, we'll hear Chapter 63, Book 133 of the Barber Family Saga. Today, the once happy bride. At 3:58 on a bleak and overcast afternoon at Joan Borden's house, five doors up from the Barber family home, a certain familiar convertible with the driver at the wheel has parked and is waiting at the porte-cochere. Inside the house, Miss Greta Stephenson, Joan's house guest, coming downstairs dressed for the street, stops midway as she glances out the window.
Oh, Jasmine, Mr. Farnsworth's car is out in front.
Yes, ma'am, I saw it too. He'll be up on the porch at exactly 4 o'clock. The children are ready, Zephyr.
Joan, I'm going downstairs now.
All right, Greta, have fun. Oh, when is Hank coming for you?
He's already late. I'll wait in the living room.
Now, Johnny, keep neat. I'll go down with you, Miss Greta. I'll stand by the door so Mr. Farnsworth can't complain about delays. My, don't you look nice, Miss Martin.
Well, thank you.
You and Captain Murray going to sneak off and get married today?
Oh, I wish we could.
Oh, that's the trouble with the military. Some officer can change his mind and where goes your honeymoon?
They promised we'll get 5 whole days next week.
Trump, look at that. Huh. I guess our clock on the mantel is slow about 1/2 a split second.
I'll be in the living room.
Zeppelin, tell him I want to speak to him first. I want to tell him what the doctor said.
Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon, Zeppelin.
Come right in, Mr. Farnsworth. The children are all ready, but Mrs. Farnsworth wants to speak to you first.
Mrs. Farnsworth?
I mean Miss Borden. I still forget sometimes.
I don't see how you could. Is Dr. Borden here?
No, sir. This is long day at the campus. I started to say Mrs. Borden will be right down. Our house guest, Miss Greta Stephenson Martin.
We're old friends, thank you. Hello, Greta.
How do you do, Ross?
Excuse me.
I thought I would find you a happy bride, or do I?
We've been delayed a few days.
That must be frustrating. Well, I hear Hank's the captain now. You must congratulate him for me.
Thank you. He will be here very shortly.
I'm sure I wish you every success. Marriage is a chancy business, as who should know better than I. It doesn't seem possible as you go into it that the day may come when you'd be wrangling over the children's custody and with lawyers to represent someone with whom you've been so terribly intimate. But this can happen. Keep it in mind, Greta. This is a queer world in which you can find the person you love so passionately happily married to someone else.
That certainly is not a very cheerful prospect.
Well, the mistakes can be avoided, I suppose. My analyst, I'm now seeing an analyst on Thursdays at 3, very interesting experience, Dr. Felix Ferrante. I can recommend him if you ever need treatment. And may I say parenthetically that marrying into the Barber family, there is reasonable likelihood that you may. Where was I? Oh, yes. Dr. Ferrante says, make sure you are happily entering marriage, not simply trying to escape from something else. In my case, as I know now, I was escaping from Mother. Mother was charming, perfectly charming, but a very exacting person.
I did not know your mother.
Well, that's too bad. She was a gentlewoman in Boston, you know. Yes. She passed away shortly after my marriage to Joan, a year or so. She died of a broken heart.
I'm sorry.
Well, you're not really, but it's good of you to say so. I had started to say something, and it's gone right out of my... Oh, yes. Of course, as Dr. Ferrante says, a few sessions with him and his patients instantly become parlor psychologists and go to work on chance acquaintances.
I've encountered this myself on flights. Passengers try to psychoanalyze the stewardess. This is especially true on cocktail flights.
Yes, I was going to tell you, when Dr. Ferrante used that striking phrase, make sure you are entering marriage, not escaping from something else, I thought of you, believe it or not.
Of me?
Yes, I actually did. I thought over the happy brides I'd seen in my lifetime, and I decided the happiest face, the one which stayed most vividly in my memory, was your own, Greta, several years ago when you were engaged to Pinky.
Oh, no.
Or don't we speak of Pinky?
That is a long time ago.
Yes, but may I say I hope you're as happy with your present prospects as you were when you were getting ready to marry Pinky.
Greta, Hank just drove up.
Thank you. Goodbye, Joan. I will meet Hank outside.
Why, Greta, what's the trouble?
Goodbye. Ross, what happened? What did you say to her?
How perfectly astonishing.
What did you do?
I offered my felicitations. Yeah. Must have touched a live nerve. I mentioned Pinky. Good heavens, Joan, she's not still in love with Pinky. Why, how perfectly horrible. And she's marrying Hank.
The kids are ready and waiting, Mrs. Borden.
You may go up now, Ross.
Thank you. What time is it? Oh, now look here. It's 6 minutes after four. Each week you contrive to have something happen to reduce my pitiful 2 hours. This afternoon I propose to stay until 6 minutes after six. Have you any objection?
None whatever. By then Raymond will be home. Your manners always seem to improve when Ray is here.
Coming, children. Here's Daddy.
Here I come.
It's 6 o'clock now. Joan, glancing at the evening news in the living room, hears the front door open and close. She lowers the paper, waits, and finally calls.
Ray?
It is I, Joan.
Oh, Greta, come on in.
I'm obliged to put on an evening dress. We are going out with my father. He's in a white tie tonight. He's lonely and wants to feel gay.
Oh, cousin, consider on the prowl again? Darling, what's the matter?
Oh, nothing. Little things. Not to talk about.
Ross can be very cruel sometimes. What did he say?
Where is Ross?
He's upstairs with the children. He has a couple more minutes. What did he say to you?
I don't know why I let it bother.
Where's the big greeting? Hey, Mrs. Borden, front and center.
Oh, Ray.
I will go up and change. Good evening, Raymond.
Oh, hi, Greta. Well, 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 well. In certain Oriental countries, the wife waits at the door when her husband comes in, half kneeling with hot hors d'oeuvre.
Oh, is that so?
In fact, in the old days in Japan, she'd be down on both knees, eyes lowered, muttering, "Hotter biscuits, my lord."
More fool she. Oh, shh. Ross is upstairs.
Smiley, mustn't laugh when he's here.
I am not upstairs. I'm right here.
Oh.
Good evening, Dr. Borden. I thought you people heard me on the stairs.
Hi, Ross.
I'm leaving now. I must say, Tina still looks a little fragile. Has she been getting out at all?
Didn't you give him the diagnosis?
Well, I didn't get around to it, Ray. Greta was here.
I see. Hank promised me a full report. Nothing happened. I called Dr. Guerin's office, but he's in the East. I'd like very much to know what was wrong with Tina, if you think you can spare time to tell me.
Hank tried to reach you. Your phone didn't answer.
The doctors couldn't find anything physically wrong with Tina, so Dr. Guerin began to question her. They gradually put together a picture of your visits. From Tina's point of view.
Pardon?
It stacks up into a pretty dreary experience.
Oh, now, see here,
Maybe you don't realize it, but you come here to see Johnny. Gifts for Johnny, books, games, all the emphasis on Johnny. That's a constant hurt for Tina.
Ridiculous.
The doctors decided she had a physical reaction to a prolonged emotional upset.
Now, that is perfectly fantastic. A pitiful 4 hours a month, and you put the blame on me.
Miss Barton! Quick, Miss Barton!
Oh, yes, Reverend?
Tina wants you. Tina's
going to
be sick again. Hurry up.
Oh, dear.
I'm coming, Tina. Zeppelin, take her in my room.
Yeah. We'll do something about this, Farnsworth. Might be even 4 hours a month is a little too long. Come on, I'll walk you to your car. We'll talk it over.
Finds Greta sitting on the window bench beside Joan, who holds the sleeping Tina in her arms.
Raymond is here. Oh, come on in, Ray.
How is she?
Oh, asleep. She's going to be all right. Has Ross gone?
Yep. Escorted him out myself.
Good. Then I will go downstairs and wait.
Miss Martin?
Yes, Captain?
Captain Murray is here. He's waiting downstairs.
Thank you. Do you want Hank to examine Tina? Well, look in when you get home. I'm sure she's all right now. I'll tell him. Good night.
Night.
Good night, Greta. Do you know what Ross had the effrontery to tell her? That she looked more like a happy bride when she was engaged to Pinky. Oh, he can do it every time. Isn't that awful? He has a gift for wounding people. Oh, the words can cut right into your heart.
Why? Is he right?
Well, that's what makes him so impossible. He's always right.
One Man's Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware and directed by Carlton E. Morse, and features J. Anthony Smythe, Bernice Berwin, Paige Gilman, Russell Thorson, and Mary Adams. In Chapter 1, Book 134, Paul discusses the making of mountains. Frank Barton speaking.